Colossians chapter 2. Praise God. And I just want to remind you also of what the word that the Lord gave us for 2013. Don't forget about it yet. Amen. Or at all. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Revelation 3, "See, I have set before you an open door. I have set before you an open door that no man can shut." 2013 is a year of opportunities. Glory to God. Be looking for them. Jesus said, "See." He told John, he said, "Look." He said, "See, recognize. I've set before you an open door." So recognize the opportunities. I guess middle school youth are going. Follow Aaron. Recognize the opportunities that he has set before you and walk in them. Amen. Praise God. Walk through them by faith. Glory to God. Opportunities to be a blessing. Opportunities to be blessed. Glory to God. It's not time to hunker down. Amen. It's not time to give up. It's not time, as Brother Randy said, to assume the crash position. Amen. I won't describe that. He described it quite vividly if you were here. And I won't describe that. You just need to get those messages and listen to them and get his vivid description of the crash position. But it's not time to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time to go forward. It's time to take advantage of opportunities the Lord has set before us. Amen. Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians 2, verse 6, he says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." I want to call your attention back to what he says in verse 7 there. He says, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught." Rooted and built up in Him and established. That word a couple of weeks ago, that word established just began to stir in my heart. Established. Praise God. And that I believe God wants us, especially in this day, especially with all the uncertainty, with all the uncertainty financially, with all the uncertainty with people about their jobs and their future and their career, with all the uncertainty about the natural world, it's so vital, it's so important that we as the people of God, that we be established. God wants you and I to be established. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, what do I mean by established? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary. Established means this. It means to make firm or stable. To make firm or stable. He says, Paul writes, he says, "I want you to be rooted and built up in Him." He says, as you received Christ, walk in Him. Walk in Christ. Live this Christian life. Live established, rooted and built up in Him. And established means to make firm or stable. It means to put on a firm basis. So when we're walking in Him, we're walking on a firm basis. Amen? Hallelujah. It means to put beyond doubt. To put beyond doubt. Amen? That's what established means. He says established in the faith. Put beyond doubt in your faith. Hallelujah. It also means this, to put into a favorable position. To put into a favorable position. That's what established means. It also means to introduce and to cause to grow and multiply. That all sounds good, doesn't it? To make firm and stable, to put on a firm basis, to put beyond doubt, to put into a favorable position, and to cause to grow and multiply. And so God wants us to be established in the faith, as He says here, established in righteousness, established in truth. And the couple we looked at last week, we'll just briefly touch on them. The first thing, established in our thinking. Established in our thinking. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established." Mm-hmm. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. I believe the Amplified there says that He'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Commit your, what's the action that produces that? Well, it's us committing our works to the Lord. It's us saying, Lord, I commit my life, my works, I commit everything to you. I trust you. Yes. Amen? It's a demonstration of our trust in God. And he says, when we trust him, he says, then he'll cause our thoughts to be established. The confusion will leave. Hallelujah. Amen. Those many voices that are speaking, they'll clear out. Hallelujah. Another proverb says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. When you commit your way to the Lord, all the dust will settle. And glory to God, his plan, his way, his will be standing. It'll be clear. Amen? Praise God. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. The first place that we need to be firm and stable and beyond doubt is in our thinking, isn't it? Because wrong thinking leads to worry, it leads to fear, leads to discouragement, leads to despair, and leads us out of faith. That's what wrong thinking does. So he wants us to be established in our thoughts, in our thinking. Commit your way to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Then we looked at being established in righteousness. The Bible talks about that. Isaiah 54:14 says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. You know, it's vital that we become established in righteousness, that we understand that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, we've been given the gift of righteousness, and that we be established in our place. Righteousness means right standing with God. It's vital that we become established in that. Too many Christians are not established in righteousness. They're not established in their standing before God. Amen? We need to be established in it. You're all out there this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then notice what he says here. In righteousness, you'll be established. And he says, you'll be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Being established, and we talked a lot about it last week, spent the majority of the time on this, so you can go back and listen to that message if you were not here. But being established in this righteousness means that we're free from fear, free from oppression, and free from terror. Amen. God wants you to walk free from all of that. Amen. Glory to God. And then the third one, we touched on this a little bit. We're going to get into this more today. Established in faith. Established in faith. And that's the scripture, our first scripture that we read. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So established in the faith. And that can mean two things. It can mean established in the and the doctrines or the teachings of the Christian faith, which we need to be established in. I think I mentioned this last week. I did a series one time. Maybe it'd be a good time to do it again sometime this year. Knowing what you believe and believing what you know. Amen. We need to know what we believe as Christians, and we need to believe it then. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not just some doctrinal statement on the wall, but it's something that we actually live by. Amen. That we believe, that flows out of our heart. Amen. And so it can mean that, but it also means established in faith, established in the principles of faith, in living by faith. Hallelujah. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. So if we want to please God, we've got to be operating in faith, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. And so it's by faith that we receive everything that Jesus has provided. We receive it through faith. Paul said, the just shall live by faith. He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. So faith's pretty important, isn't it? And it's vital that we be established in it. That we be not just hit or miss or every once in a while, you know, it works for us. No, but established in faith where we're living it. Amen? Glory to God. In Isaiah 7, verse 9, it says something about believing and being established. It says, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Well, the reverse is true as well. I like to look at it that way. I like to take the knots out. Amen. There's some verses. My pastor years ago pointed this out. He said, you know, when you take the knots out, he's talking about Abraham in Romans 4. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Romans 4 says that. Well, if you take the knots out, Then it would say, and being weak in faith, he considered his own body. You can learn a lot by taking out the knots. Amen. And so here, if you take the knots out, you find this. If you will believe, surely you shall be established. If you will believe, surely you shall be established. And I pointed out last week, he didn't say if you can believe. He said if you will believe. So believing is what? It's a choice. Believing is a choice more than it is an ability. You have the ability, the capacity to believe. If you choose to believe, if you will believe, you'll be established. Amen? Glory to God. So, but talking about this, talking about being established in faith, we need to look at this a little bit closer, look into it a little bit deeper this morning. Being established in faith means being established in the revelation of redemption. Being established in faith means being established in the revelation of redemption. So what do you mean by that? Well, let's look at a scripture here. Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 16. In Romans 16, verse 25, look at this. Amazing scripture, really. He says this, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began." And the first part of verse 26 says, "But now made manifest." That mystery has been revealed. And Paul said that mystery is in the gospel that I preach. Hallelujah. And in that gospel that Paul preached, he said, through the preaching of that gospel, through the revelation of that gospel that Paul preached, he said, God will establish you. God will establish you. Look at it again. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel." According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, what does Paul mean? Is he egotistical here? He was not the only one preaching the gospel. It's not your gospel, Paul. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul says it's my gospel. Well, what's he talking about here? Is it the gospel of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Paul said that. He said, the preaching of my gospel, or says, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Paul's gospel is proclaiming Jesus Christ. Amen. But why did he call it my gospel? Well, he's speaking specifically about the revelation that Jesus gave to him. Look with me at the book of Galatians chapter 1 where he talks about this. Galatians 1 verse 11, he says, "But I make known to you, brethren," look at this, "but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." The Amplified Bible says it this way, "It came to me through a direct revelation given by Jesus Christ, the Messiah." Now here's what happened. The Apostle Paul, before he was Paul the Apostle, he was Saul, the Pharisee, the persecutor of the church. Amen. And he was on his way to Damascus, and he was divinely interrupted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus appeared to him, knocked him off his horse, blinded him by the brightness of his glory. And he said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting." And Saul got saved. And Jesus said, "Go into the city." He said, I'm going to use you. I've appeared to you for a specific purpose." And he went into the city. And then Ananias came and laid hands on him, that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God began to reveal. And then he was away for a period of time, and Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus revealed the gospel to him. He didn't get the gospel that he preached. He said it wasn't according to men. He didn't consult with the 12 apostles. Now later he did. The Bible, if you read through Galatians, it says that he went up to Jerusalem and he submitted to them the revelation that he was preaching, he wanted to make sure that he was on target and on track. Amen. And so he submitted that. Now, that's how to mark and recognize a false teacher, a false apostle, a false prophet really quick, if they're not willing to submit their revelation to those who are elders and established in the faith.
Yep, that's right.
Amen. So he did that. He presented it, and he said they added nothing to that. In fact, it brought great revelation to all of them. And so it came to him by a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus appeared to him. I want to read to you a couple of excerpts out of this book. This is called Paul's System of Truth by Mark Hankins, The Life and Teachings of the Apostle Paul. Words like revolution and turning point describe the Apostle Paul's impact on history. He definitely caused a great commotion in society. Paul caused a sudden change of direction in the early church. He revolutionized the thinking of the early church leaders concerning what happened in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result, the impact and influence of Christianity went around the world. Paul crossed social, religious, cultural, racial, and geographical boundaries. What God did in Christ was for the whole world and every generation. Paul started a revolution that still shapes and changes the world today. The Lord Jesus Christ used Paul to pioneer the way and to draw the map that believers walk today in Christ. You think about this man, God used him to write 2/3 of the books of the New Testament were written by this man. And so all of that, all of those books, all those letters that he wrote is a revelation of this gospel that he preached. We can find out this gospel that he preached that, by the way, the reason we're talking about this, it says God is able to establish you through the preaching of my gospel and through my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And so when we understand the gospel, it's important that we understand the gospel that Paul preached because that's what God uses to establish us. Are everybody still on board with me this morning? Amen? Praise God. So Paul, in his letters to the churches, in Romans, through the book of Hebrews, reveals this gospel that he preached. And again, Mark Hankins says in here, he says, the four gospels are a photograph of redemption. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are a photograph of redemption. Paul's epistles, Paul's letters, Paul's writings are an x-ray. I'd like to put it this way. I'd like to go a step further. An MRI. Hallelujah. You know, you can find out a lot more when you take an x-ray. You know, they can take it, you know, back last April, I injured my knee very severely. And I knew something was torn in there. And so I went to the doctor, and of course, the orthopedic doctor, and they took an x-ray. I knew it wasn't anything broken. If you took a picture of my knee, you could tell that it was swollen, had fluid on it. You could tell that much about it, but that was about all you could tell. They did take an x-ray. The x-ray showed no broken bones, but then he said, I need you to go have an MRI. And so I had an MRI, and when he read the MRI, he could see everything that was going on inside my knee. He could see that my ACL was completely torn. And as far as I know, still is today. I'm running around on my left leg without a functioning ACL. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Amen. Glory to God. I don't know. Maybe I should have another MRI. It might have grown back. But if it tears completely, it's not supposed to do that. Yeah. So I thought I felt it flopping around in there a few times, but I don't feel anything bad now. So, glory to God. Anyway, through this revelation, God is able to establish you. Amen. The four Gospels are a photograph. We see the picture of what Jesus did, dying on the cross, shedding His blood, being raised from the dead. But then the epistles are an x-ray or an MRI. Here's what was happening in the spirit realm. Here's what was happening in the realm you couldn't see. Here's what Jesus was doing for us. And so basically this revelation centers on some things here. First of all, it centers on this, what God did for us in Christ. what God did for us in Christ Jesus. And included in that is what Jesus did, what happened from the cross to the throne. Hallelujah. What happened in the 3 days and three nights? Glory to God. Because things were happening. Jesus' body was in the tomb. Hallelujah. But Jesus was doing business for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A price was being paid for us. A redemption, a complete redemption was being secured for us. Woo! Glory to God. So what God did for us in Christ is revealed in this gospel that Paul preached. When you understand that, it will establish you. Praise God. It also centers on this, who we are now and what we now have in Christ. Hallelujah. And it also centers on this, what Jesus is doing for us now. You know, Jesus is not just sitting up in heaven twiddling his thumbs. Amen. He's active. He's doing some things for us now. So it centers on what Jesus is doing for us now. And it centers on how to grow up, how we can grow up in Christ. So we're going to be talking about all of those things. Some of them we'll hit on today. So let's look at this first one. What God did for us in Christ. Can I get just a little bit in the monitor here, Wes? I'm having to strain my voice a little bit. But what God did for us in Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Look at verse 4 now. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, that was our spiritual condition, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did for, or what God did for us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. When you get a hold of that, when that becomes real to you, when you realize that you've been made alive with Christ, that you've been raised up together with Him, and that you've actually been seated with Him in heavenly places, when you get a hold of that, it will establish you. The devil won't be able to shake you around like a rag doll. The devil won't be able to keep you depressed. Glory to God. I was thinking about this as I thought about this scripture years ago, right after Robin and I got married, and we were living at the Copper Mill Apartments at 7125 South Erie in apartment 3011 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136. That in this apartment complex, there were some members. I don't remember Paul's, the boy's name was Paul. I don't remember his wife's name. Remember him? They were friends of Mary Lou Cochran. Remember them? They lived there too for a while. Or if they lived there, they might have lived in the complex. I think they lived in the complex next door. But anyway, they would come over and do their laundry at our, you know, you didn't have your own washer and dryer. You had to go to the laundry. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. And so anyway, we were up there doing the laundry one day, and I just remember Paul sitting there on the table, and he with a big smile on his face. He said, "You know," he said, "we're sitting with Christ right now." I said, "Well, praise God, we are. Amen. Hallelujah." And so that became a revelation to him. Sitting in the laundry. Amen. Seated with Christ. Amen. Naturally, his body was sitting on the table in the laundry at the apartment complex. But spiritually, he's seated with Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Here's another one. Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15. "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Hallelujah. Let that dawn on your heart and mind, and let that establish you today. Amen. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers. Glory to God. He had them turn in their guns, glory to God, and their knives, and their machetes, and all their weapons. He disarmed them. He disarmed, having disarmed principalities and powers. That's the demon spirits, amen? He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in the cross, in what he did on the cross. That's what was happening from the cross to the throne. That's what was happening in the 3 days and the 3 nights. He disarmed the principalities and powers. And he made a public spectacle of them. Public in the realm of the spirit. If you were in the spirit realm, if you were an angel, if you were a demon, then you were a public witness. It was happening all in public. Here's what was happening. Jesus was stripping the devil of all his authority, of all of his right to oppress and afflict and torment and condemn you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. This is what God did for us in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. This revelation, when we could preach, 6 months on each one of these points. Glory to God. But I'm just going to get it all in 2.5 hours today. Hallelujah. Don't look at me that way. No. Here's the second one. Who we are now, or who we now are, and what we now have in Christ. This revelation, by the way, is what establishes you, right? Amen. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel. Amen. Or according to my gospel. So what God did for us in Christ, and now who we now are, and what we now have in Christ. You know these? 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The verse before that, he says, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Hallelujah. Robin was talking about this last Sunday at the end. From now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Paul said, when I look at you, when I look at fellow believers, he said, I don't look at you according to the flesh. Amen. He said, I don't look at you. And this is a great revelation we all should get. He said, I don't look at you. I don't regard you according to the flesh. He said, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Jesus wasn't just the carpenter from Nazareth. Amen. He's the Son of God. And you're not just David Webb. You know, the security man. What's your official title? Transportation specialist. I mean, that's important. That's your job, and those things are important. But you're David Webb, child of God, amen. Raised up, made alive with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. Yeah. Amen. New creation, all things passed away, all things become new. That's what he said, we don't regard anyone according to the flesh. Therefore, if any man, verse 17 now, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This gospel that he preached was a revelation of who we are in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Mark Hankin says you look a whole lot better in Christ than you do out of him. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, see yourself in Christ. Hallelujah. He says in verse 21, he says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's who we are, in him, in Christ. Brother Hagin wrote a little book called In Him. I'd encourage you, if you don't have it, get it. And he lists a lot of those scriptures that talk about who we are in Christ. He got a hold of that revelation. Amen. This is what Paul preached. He said, see yourself, who you are in Christ. Amen? Glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That will establish you. Glory to God. In fact, you ought to say that. Say this after me. Say, I am. God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works Hallelujah. Good works won't get you into heaven, but when you realize who you are in Christ, then good works will flow out of your life. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the revelation that he preached. That's the gospel that he preached. Praise God. And then this, what Jesus is doing for us now, what Jesus is doing for us right now, Hebrews 7:25, out of the Amplified Bible, it says this, therefore he is able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity. I love it. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Therefore he is able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity. The salvation that Jesus purchased for us was not one you could find at Dollar General.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
I mean, I shop at Dollar General. If anybody is associated with Dollar General in any way, this is not meant to offend you. Amen. But you know, this is not something cheap to get you by. Amen. Glory to God. It's not a cheap get you by. Maybe it'll work salvation. No. The salvation that Jesus purchased for us is, he said he's able to save us to the uttermost.
Yeah.
Completely. Glory to God. Perfectly. Finally. And for all time and eternity.
Hallelujah.
Those who come to God through him. Why? Since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. That's what Jesus is doing right now. I said that's what he's doing right now. He is always living to make petition to God. Aren't you glad? Glory to God. You thought you were the only one praying for you and all your household. No, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is making intercession for you. Jesus is intervening for on your behalf.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory to God. Amen. Jesus is our high priest. He's able to save us to the uttermost. Amen. Glory to God. And then also this one, 1 John 2, verse 1. 1 John 2, verse 1, out of the New Living Translation. 1 John 2, 1. John writes, he says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, see the Word of God, we talked about that a few weeks ago. The Word of God is to have a cleansing effect in our lives. The washing of water by the Word. That's why you and I need to be in the Word every day. It washes us. Amen. Glory to God. And John says, I'm writing this to you so that you don't sin, so that you don't pick up those attitudes and bad habits. And all. Let the Word cleanse you and wash you so that you don't sin. But if anyone does sin, he knew we hadn't reached perfection yet. So he made a provision. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have a what?
Advocate.
An advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. Glory to God. If anyone sins, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you're my advocate. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're my advocate. Hallelujah. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father, Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He is our advocate. He is our defense attorney, and he presents some evidence. Now, there is a prosecuting attorney in this courtroom as well. That's the devil. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Amen. Glory to God. But our defense attorney is the son of the judge.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You think you win that case?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. God the Father is the judge in this courtroom. Satan is the prosecuting attorney. The accuser of the brethren. But Jesus is our advocate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so Jesus, And so the devil, as the prosecuting attorney, he tries to present evidence. He presents evidence of the things that we've done, where we've missed it, where we've fallen short. And he begins to talk about that. And then Jesus comes up as our defense attorney, and he says, Father, Judge, Your Honor, Father, Daddy? He said, I've got some evidence to present in this case as well. I present the evidence of my shed blood. Hallelujah. I present the evidence of the stripes that I bore to purchase their healing. Hallelujah. And the devil says, but I've got a record of it. It's on this DVD right here. And you put the DVD in and it's blank. There's nothing on it. It's been wiped away. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He's our advocate. And that's why the Bible says a few verses before, if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing our sin is not when God finds out about it. He knew about it. Confessing our sin gives Him an opportunity to help us. You got to go to your attorney. You got to go to your advocate and say, hey, I need some representation here. I've missed it. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, look at this one with me. Hebrews 3, verse 1, he says, therefore, holy brethren, praise God. Holy brethren. Now let's stop right there for a little while. Therefore, holy brethren. He calls us holy brethren. And the cistern are included too. Amen. Holy brethren. Glory to God. Therefore, holy brethren. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Well, Pastor, there's some speculation about that. No, there's not. You know, some folks, some theologians that Charles Capp says you have to have help to misunderstand the Bible may debate about that, but this is the revelation. It's the same revelation that Jesus gave. Paul doesn't, the book of Hebrews doesn't bear his name, but it bears his mark. It's his writing. And he says, therefore, holy brethren, hallelujah. Holy brethren. He calls you holy. Amen. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's just revelation right there that'll bless your life. You're a holy and you're a partaker of the heavenly calling. That's why he wrote to the church at Corinth and he said, you're not mere men. He said, you're acting like mere men. Come on. What are you doing? You're acting like mere men. We are not mere men. Glory to God. We're new creations. Hallelujah. We've been injected with the life of God. Praise God. So he says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. That's what he's doing right now. That's part of his ministry right now for us. He is the apostle and the high priest of our confession. I want to read you another little excerpt here from this book. Look at the words apostle and high priest. The word apostle means a sent one, or one sent to establish something. Glory to God. A high priest is one who represents someone else. Jesus was sent, listen to this, Jesus was sent to establish everything His blood purchased for us and represent everybody His blood has redeemed. As our apostle and high priest, Jesus was sent to establish everything His blood purchased for us and to represent everybody His blood has redeemed. Now listen, the only way He can do His job is through our confession. He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Amen. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. The only way He can do His job is through our confession. Jesus can only do His job when we say something. Get this now. He represents our confession before the Father God. Confess with your mouth that His word is true, no matter what the circumstances around you look like. He is waiting for you to acknowledge that He has already redeemed you. You are delivered and have been made righteous in Him. Hallelujah. When we acknowledge that, when we acknowledge the reality of what He purchased in redemption by the words of our mouth, then he takes our confession and He represents us before the Father. Father, they're saying that by my stripes they were healed. And it gets reinforced in our life. Do you get that? Father, they're saying that they're the righteousness of God in me. And that gets enforced in our life. Father, they're saying that I've been made unto them wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, and it gets enforced in our life. He's the apostle and high priest of our confession. He's doing that for us now. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Look at this. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus, right now, His present day ministry, He is our shepherd. He said in John chapter 10, He said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He is our shepherd. David had a revelation of this. You know Psalm 23. You know how it starts. How does it begin? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Hallelujah. I used to think that meant, along with the word, we use the word chimney. Anybody ever call it chimney?
I know what a chimney is.
A chimney, you know what a chimney is? A chimney is a chimney when you're from the South. Uncle Si used the word chimney the other night when we were watching Duck Dynasty. So I'm telling on myself now. That's my favorite TV show, all right now. I don't know, I may get tired of it after a while. But anyway, I used to think, along with thinking it was a chimney that the smoke came out of when you had a fire going in your house. I don't know where we got that from, but nobody else knew it as a chimney? Come on, be honest. Okay, all right, thank you. All right, don't be ashamed. But along with that, I used to think, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, meant that I'm not supposed to want you, Lord. But it means lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I shall not lack. Amen. But David had an amazing revelation here. That's Psalm 23, Jesus as our shepherd. If you look back at the Psalms, Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, David, by the Holy Spirit, as a prophet, writes, my God, why have you forsaken me? What is Psalm 22? Jesus on the cross. You get to the end of it and you read, it shall be written for a generation yet to come that He has done it. It's finished. Glory to God. Psalm 22 ends with, it is finished. Glory to God. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what He's doing for us right now. Psalm 22 was His earthly ministry, His death and resurrection. Psalm 23, what He's doing right for us right now. Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. His second coming, His return. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Psalm 23, though, for a minute. This is what Jesus is doing for us now. I want you to see it in that light. You may have never read it in the light of, this is Jesus, my shepherd. This is what He's doing for me. This is who He is to me right now. Hallelujah. Look at it. Let's look at it that way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Sometimes we quote Psalm 23 at funerals, but this is what Jesus is doing for you right now when you're on the earth. He's in heaven, you're on the earth, He's your shepherd. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. Something, I guess that's where we get the idea that we should use it at a funeral, because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But you and I are walking through the valley of the shadow of death every day. We've got the shadow of spiritual death and the effects of spiritual death trying to fall on us every day. We've got the shadow of it. We've got the shadow of the curse and all that came about was spiritual death, separation from God, sickness, disease, poverty, fear, all of that. That's the shadow of death. But glory, we're living in that fallen world right now. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your word and your spirit. Amen. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now that couldn't be heaven because your enemies won't be in heaven. If they are, then you made it to the wrong place and we're going to have to put you on the elevator going down, honey. No, your enemies aren't in heaven. He's talking about here on the earth. And on the earth, here in this life, he said he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You got the devil, you got enemies all around you, but God's got a table. What are you doing? What are you doing looking at the enemies? What are you doing concentrating on the enemies? Pull up to the table and partake of what God's prepared and provided on that table. Amen. Glory to God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Glory to God. Now, they talk about it too, that the shepherd, this is talking about how a shepherd takes care of his sheep, that the shepherd would anoint the sheep's heads with oil to keep the bugs off. It was like an insect repellent for the sheep to have their head anointed with oil. Glory to God. The shepherd would do that to keep the bugs off. Aren't you glad that Jesus, through his word, anoints us and keeps the bugs off? Those tormenting, harassing spirits, those tormenting thoughts. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My cup is half full. Huh? My cup must have a leak in it. There's not much left. My cup runs over. Runs over. My cup barely has enough. I got enough for me, but don't bother me. I don't have anything for you. My cup runs over. You just get around me, you'll start getting blessed. Amen. That's the way folks ought to be around us. Amen. They ought to get slopped over blessings. Slopped over joy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to God. Jesus is your shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd right now. That's what he's doing for us right now. Paul gave us this revelation. Hallelujah. Who we are, what God did for us in Christ, who we now are, and what we now have in Christ, and what Jesus is doing for us now. Amen. There's more to it. We'll talk more about it and get into it further next week. But he said, through this, notice this now, through this, he said, this is going to establish you. Through this, he says, now to him, let's look back at Romans 16. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Well, who we've been preaching about? Jesus Christ. We've been talking about what Jesus did, who Jesus has made us to be, what Jesus is doing for us now. Paul's gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake. Paul wasn't trying to usurp anything. Paul was just saying, this is the revelation that he gave me. This is what he did. This is the MRI. We have the photograph of it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But here's the MRI. Here's the full picture. Amen. And when we get a hold of it, when we meditate on it, allow it to become real in our hearts, it will establish us. Him who's able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation, the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest. It's not hidden anymore. He said, we're teaching it, we're preaching it, we're revealing it. Amen. Hallelujah. And through this revelation, he said, God is able to establish you, to make you firm and stable, to put you on a firm basis. Doesn't this put you on a firm basis for your faith when you understand this? Amen. To put you beyond doubt. Well, I'm trying to get God to answer my prayer. What do you mean you're trying to get God to answer your prayer? Look at who you are in Christ. Look at what He's already provided for you. Prayer ought to just be a natural thing of just the avenue through which we receive and appropriate all that's been provided for us. It's a sure thing. It's not something we're hoping will happen. It's a sure thing based on what He's done, based on His blood, based on who He's made us. To put you into a favorable position. He raised us up and made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places. I'd say that's a pretty favorable position, wouldn't you? He's another place Paul wrote this in Ephesians. He says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Past tense, has blessed. Amen? That's a favorable position. And to cause you to grow and multiply. To cause you to grow and multiply. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be established. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for the Holy Spirit that has spoken to our hearts. And Father, I thank You that this Word is sealed in our hearts today.